chapter 10, I saw Jesus. Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, I awoke and sprang out of bed, not my usual style. I grabbed my Bible and hurried to the living room. I let my Bible fall open in my lap, and there were in the Psalms. I turned a couple of pages to Psalms 43. My eyes went straight to the note Sunshine had written in the margin, Sunshine in Hospital, the angel. Her visitation from that angel seemed like it had to signify a turning point in her life. Oh God, I prayed, look out for my baby girl and bring her over safely. I miss her so much. I marked another day off the calendar. Only 4 more days. Only 4 more days. I got everyone up. Time to get ready for church, I said, knocking on Dean and Darren's door. Dean said, this time next week, Sunshine and Rick will be here, huh, Mom? Yep, we got a busy week next week. As we had done every morning since we arrived in Florida, we all held hands and prayed for Rick and Sunshine and the rest of the family. This morning, Darren led in prayer, thanking God for all that we had, especially each other, and for God's divine guidance in our life. While he prayed, I stood there thinking, what a sweet spirit Darren has. God truly has blessed me. A strong sense of peace came over me, and I knew Darren and Dean felt it too. When Darren finished his prayer, I reached over and hugged him. Thank you, son. That was so very sweet. I really felt the presence of God this morning, he replied. Yes, I felt as though angels were surrounding us, I said. It's a great feeling. As he was walking out of his room, Dean joyfully yelled, just a couple of more days and Sunshine and Rick will be here, right, Mom? I'm so happy about that. It was a warm, beautiful morning as we drove to church and out the car window, wondering, why have you, God, loved us so much when I failed you so badly in the past? Blaming you for things I didn't understand, like my mother's suicide. I guess it was easier to blame you than it was to blame her. Did she go to heaven, Lord? I don't know. There's so much I don't understand, but this morning I do know you love me. Like never before, I feel your love so completely, so total, all around me and through me. It feels wonderful, Father. Thank you so much. It was exceptionally crowded in the church parking lot, so we drove around to the side and parked. Dean and Darren went on ahead while my husband and I paused to talk briefly about the day's activities. I want to stop at Maggie's nursery on the way home, I said. Okay? I guess so. What do you want to get there? Well, Sunshine will be here in 4 days, and I want to plant this little area just for her to make her feel more at home. All right, we can do that, he said. I'm sure the sermon was good that morning, but I have no idea what it was about. This peaceful spiritual feeling preoccupied me. I spent the whole morning talking with God in my spirit. When the pastor ended, we spoke with him briefly about Sunshine's wedding. We're all getting so excited, I told him. They'll be here in 4 days. On our way home, I asked Dean and Darren if they mind if we stop somewhere, because I knew they were always anxious to get out of their church clothes. They agreed and waited in the car while I went in the nursery. Good morning, Maggie. I need a beautiful yellow rose bush. Over this way, she said. I just got some in yesterday. At the end of the aisle, I could see all the beautiful yellow blooms bunched together. She began pulling some out of the containers. Which one would you like? I looked over them. One bush had a single open bloom on it, along with 7 large buds. Oh, this one, it's lovely. My little girl will be here in 4 days, you know, the one I told you about that's getting married. Oh, yes, Sunshine, right? Yes. Sunshine loves yellow roses. I'll bet a if I plant this one now, all 7 blooms will be open by the time she gets here. Yep, they should be. I also want 2 trays of these, I said, pointing to some little purple flowers. She picked up the rose bush and I took the trays. We put them in the trunk of the car. Grab a bag of peat moss, Mom, Darren reminded me. As I went to get the peat moss, I saw a big foliage plant. This will look perfect behind the rose bush, I thought. So I told Maggie and she put it in the trunk for me. These are for sunshine, I told the guys as we were driving home. She won't have any problem recognizing her house. She'll know immediately that these were planted just for her. I'll make a deal with you, Darren. What's that, Mom? I'll run and fix a good lunch if you'll grab a shovel, overturn the dirt by the walkway right there at the corner, I said, pointing to the spot I wanted dug up. Okay, Mom. I'll dig and you cook. Cook fast, 'cause I'm really hungry. You got it, son, I said. We all went in and changed out of our church clothes. Darren got the shovel and overturned the dirt for me. Soon I yelled, lunch is ready. I made up Gary's plate and took it to him in the living room where he was watching TV. Dean took his plate to the front porch where Darren was finishing up. Do you want yours out here, Darren? Yes, he said as he rinsed his hands off with the garden hose. Well, I'll come out and eat with you guys. We had several lawn chairs on the front porch. Soon Dean was finished. Will you unload the flowers for me, son? Sure, he said, and I threw him my keys. And Darren and I watched him as we finished our lunch. Okay, how do you want them, Mom? Dean asked. Well, the big foliage plant goes in the back between the house and the walkway, and the rose bush in front of it. And I'll scallop the little purple flowers myself. Within a few minutes, Darren and Dean had the larger plants in the ground. I grabbed my little hand shovel and began putting the little purple flowers in place. Dean and Darren sat in the lawn chair watching. Gary came out and sat with them. That really looks nice, Mom, Darren asked. Good touch, Mom, Dean added. Well, great, I said. At that moment, my nephew Lonnie rode up on his bike. He looked at me and then at Gary. Mom and Dad want to see y'all, he said as he came to a stop. There was nothing unusual in this. I looked at Gary and said, will you go, please? I want to finish planting these, okay? All right, I'll be back, he said. He got in the car. I continued planting the little purple flowers. Sissy's house was only 6 blocks away, so in no more than 5 minutes, Gary was back. I was still kneeling on the ground when he and my brother-in-law drove up. The look on Gary's face and my brother-in-law's face told me that something was very, very wrong. I glanced at Darren and at Dean. They had sensed it, too. Gary looked at me, then looked down. What is it? I asked him. He stood silently. Darren and Dean came over and stood beside me, Darren putting his arm around my waist. Gary suddenly looked up at the sky. My goodness, I could see tears in his eyes. I can't remember ever seeing him cry before. What is it? I yelled. Darren grabbed my hand and squeezed it gently. Gary looked me in the eyes again, then shook his head. What is it? I asked again. It's sunshine, he said. What do you mean it's sunshine? What's wrong? He looked down again and shook his head. What's wrong? Is she sick? Has she been in an accident? What's wrong with sunshine? Horror spread all through me as I waited. I'm sorry, listeners. Horror spread all through me as I waited for him to answer me. What's wrong? I cried. He glanced at the porch and then back to me. His quivering. She's dead. What? I screamed, and he replied, she's dead. She's been murdered. Darren screamed, no, God, no, no, God. He clutched me. No, God, my sister, no. Dean tilted his head down on mine. I could hear the deep moans. No, God, no. I heard what Gary said, but I didn't believe him. My immediate impulse was I wanted to hit him. Then I wanted to ignore him and go back to planting my flowers. He's wrong. He has to be wrong. What are you saying? I screamed at him. Darren was now crying uncontrollably, repeating, my sister, no, God, no. In total disbelief, I told Gary, no, no, you're wrong. Frantic horror cursed through me. He's wrong. He has to be wrong. No one could hurt Sunshine. Everybody loves her. God wouldn't let anyone hurt her. Not her, not Sunshine. I began to shake my head. You're wrong, I screamed. No, I'm not wrong, he said. Let's go to your sister's. Darren was holding on to me, and by this time, he was going limp. I could barely hold him up. Dean had the stern, shocked, confused look on his face. He walked away and turned into the house. Go get him, I told Gary. He opened the car door and I got in, supporting Darren. My brother-in-law helped him get in. Darren put his arms around my neck and started rocking. No, Mom, no, he repeated. Please tell me they're wrong, Mom. Then at the top of his lungs, he screamed, God, God, where are you? I just sit there shaking my head, no. Gary came out of the house with Dean. They got in the car and we drove to Sissy's. I looked at Dean. He sat there frozen in disbelief. Darren was going into shock by this time. We pulled into Sissy's driveway. Then Dean got out of the car and wandered down the sidewalk in a daze. Gary ran and got Dean by the arm and led him in Sissy's house. Then he and my brother-in-law carried Darren into the house and laid him on the couch. Sissy was standing there with her hands clasped to her mouth. I'm so sorry, she said. I'm so sorry, Teresa, she replied as she hugged me. Pastor Cliff and Betty just called and said the police called and told them. They're wrong, Sissy. You don't understand. It's all a big mistake. They're wrong. She looked at me in the eyes and shook her head no, then looked at Darren and grabbed a washcloth and started wiping his face. Darren was shaking so badly she could hardly sit beside him. I felt frozen. I was numb. This is so wrong. I was still thinking, this is a big mistake. Dean had gone outside into the yard and was standing on the patio. I could see Gary talking with him through the sliding glass doors. I wished he wouldn't tell Dean anymore. This is all a big mistake anyway. Dean wouldn't look at him. He didn't even want to hear what Gary was saying. He stood with his arms folded, looking up in the sky. Dean's like me, I thought. He knows it, too. He knows it's all just a big mistake. Soon Gary came in and walked over to me. I got to call the coroner in Texas. Good, I responded. Call them. Then you'll find out this is all just a big mistake. He went to Sissy's kitchen and began dialing the number. Sissy was still wiping Darren's face and praying over him, still crying. Darren got picture of Jesus hanging on the wall. Pointing to the picture, he looked at me and said, "Mama, she's right there, Mama. I see her. She's right there with him. It's true." I kept shaking my head no. I could hear Gary mumbling on the phone. I went in the kitchen and stood right beside him. I wanted to hear this. I wanted to hear them tell him that this had all been one big mistake. It wasn't Sunshine. Gary gave the coroner Sunshine's description. A little girl, not more than 110 pounds, 5'4", long red hair. He looked at me. "Are there any other identifying marks?" he asked. I thought for a second. "Yes, she has a little mole just above her lip on the left side." I knew they wouldn't see any mole, and then they would know it wasn't Sunshine. Gary repeated to the coroner. "She has this little mole just above her lip." He listened for a moment and then whispered, "Oh my God." He turned to me, a look of shock and horror on his face. "She doesn't have enough face left to identify." He continued talking to the coroner. "Okay, sir, I understand." He hung up the phone. With panic, I cried out, "What? You understand what? It's not her. You understand it's not her, right?" He said, "They just got her fingerprints back. It's Sunshine. She's dead. She's been murdered." "No more," I screamed. "Don't tell me anymore." I slumped to the floor in the corner of Sissy's kitchen. In my mind, I kept hearing over and over, "She doesn't have enough face left to identify." My mind shut down at this point. All I could do was cry in silence. "My beautiful baby girl doesn't have a face. My Sunshine has no face. This can't be." I sit there in the corner rocking. I was singing barely under my voice. "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy. Oh no, God, they can't take her away. You can't take her away. You are my sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Oh God, what happened here? What happened? We're your children. Sunshine's your child. How can they tell me she's dead and don't even have a face left? Something went wrong here, God. What happened to your protection of your children? You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy. No, 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 God, this can't be. It's all wrong. You, God, you have to help me to understand this. I feel so betrayed, so wrong. I've been doing all the right things for all the right reasons for you, God. I did just what you asked. I moved the whole family over here. I didn't want to, but I did it anyway. Now look. Look at what just happened to my precious, beautiful sunshine. This can't be, God." Sissy knelt beside me and put her arms around me. She was crying too. "Someday we'll understand this, Teresa. Maybe not now, but someday we will. Sunshine's gone. She's with Jesus now. You know that, don't you? You've got to know that." I just sat there with my face in my hands. I couldn't answer her. I somehow thought that if I didn't say it out loud, it wasn't true. Like I could change what happened by just keeping silent. My thoughts kept repeating back, "This is a bad mistake. This is a horrible, bad mistake." Gary and Sissy made all the arrangements, and the next morning we were at the airport. I still kept thinking, "This isn't true." I didn't say anything to nobody. We started to board. Susie and I were hugging goodbye, and I whispered to her, "It's not true, Susie. You'll see it's a bad mistake. It's not sunshine. It can't be." I could see the pain in her eyes as she said, "I'm afraid it is, Teresa." The whole flight, I clutched my Bible and spoke only when necessary. Our pastor, Cliff, and his wife, Betty, were there at the airport to meet us. Gary and Cliff decided it would be best if they went to the morgue alone to identify Sunshine's body. Gary also wanted to talk to the detective on the case to find out exactly what happened to her. Betty suggested that she and I go buy something to bury Sunshine in. I sat there silently as we drove to the store, over and over in my mind with the words, "Buy something to bury Sunshine in. What is she saying? What are they saying?" I couldn't believe what had happened. Yesterday morning, I'd been talking with the pastor about her wedding. In a few short days, I thought we'd be seeing my beautiful baby girl walk down the aisle in her wedding dress I had made. Now I was picking out something to bury her in. Oh, beloved, I tell you, I try hard to keep it together. But after a few minutes in the store, trying to shop, trying to pick something out I knew Sunshine would like, I just couldn't. I turned my face to the wall and just cried. Betty said, "I'll do it, Teresa. I'll pick something out." I knew this was painful for her, too. After a few minutes, I pulled myself together, as best I could anyway, and joined Betty. We decided on a beautiful white ruffled gown. It was exactly to Sunshine's taste. She would have loved it. The pastor's home was attached to the church. As soon as we got there, I went into the church to pray. I looked at the pulpit. This is where we sang together. I looked at the place where Sunshine usually sat. I remember the last service we attended the Sunday just before we left. She and Rick could sit there beside me, and I could hear them whispering during the song service about their wedding and how God was going to use them. They were so open to whatever God had for them to do. They just wanted to serve Him. I went back to the pastor's house. I had to call Rick. I had to find out what happened. What happened to him? I dialed his number, but there was no answer. When Gary and our pastor came back, I was sitting in the church again. Gary came and found me. He had a very, very stern look on his face. "Did you see her?" "Yes," he answered and looked away. "How does she look?" "Don't ask. Just don't ask," he said sternly. "Please tell me something. Is it Sunshine? Is it her?" "Yes," he said. "Are you positive it's her?" "Yes, I'm positive. Now don't ask me anymore. Believe me, you don't want to know. It's best you remember her as she was." "Well, how did this happen? What happened to her?" He sat down, leaned forward with his elbows on his knees and his hands on his head. After a few seconds, I asked again, "What happened to her? Please tell me something." He wouldn't look at me. "She was murdered. She died a horrible, horrible, torturous death. You don't need to know anymore. I can't talk about it anymore." His words echoed so deep, but I kept silent, thinking, maybe he's right. Maybe I don't need to know anymore. Truthfully, I don't think I could have handled it. After spending the night back to Florida. And the next morning, we made arrangements to have Sunshine sent to where the rest of us were to be buried there. Sissy and her husband met us at the airport. It seemed like it had been 1,000 years since I was home. Everything was pleasant and happy. And then our whole world turned upside down. We had to make arrangements for Sunshine's arrival and choose a casket. How horribly difficult that was. I kept slipping back into denial. I kept thinking they were wrong. Sunshine was loved too much by God. He wouldn't let something like that happen to her. I did all the right things. I believe she'd walk in the door any minute. I know. She'll smile and say, "It was a big mistake, Mama." Oh, God, I know what I have to do. Even though we had to have a closed casket service, I knew for my sanity I had to see her. I had to know in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit that my Sunshine was gone. That was really her in this casket. Or I knew I would live in denial forever. The police in Texas delayed Sunshine's body for 2 days, saying they needed it for evidence, but finally it arrived. And we had her memorial service, 7 o'clock in the evening. Sonia had arranged and rearranged all the flowers that had been sent. It was the last thing she could be able to do for Sunshine. I repeatedly asked Gary if I could see her, if I could please just hold her one more time. At first he said no, that it was best that I remember her as she was and not as she is now. But I persisted. I understand his reaction, his protectiveness of her and me, but I had to at least be able to hold her hand just one more time. I had to know. I had no choice. I had to know. After all the family had viewed the casket and said their goodbyes to her, I asked if they would all leave the room so I could be alone with my Sunshine just one more time. Sonia came up to me. "Are you sure this is what you want to do?" "I'm sure I have to, Sonia. I have no choice. I have to know." Gary was still the only one who had seen her. They all reluctantly left the room and closed the door. Gary covered her face with a towel before he left. He told me, "Just don't look at her face." Then he left the room. I lifted the top half of the casket lid. She had on the gown that Betty and I had picked out for her. But God, that doesn't look like her. I looked at her arms. There was a lot of makeup and like body putty or something on her. Her hands were still under the bottom lid. God, this doesn't look at all like Sunshine. This isn't her. I lifted the bottom lid and picked up her right hand. My heart fell sickeningly. "Oh my God," I whispered. Beside all the other horrible marks up and down her arm, she had holes in her wrist. Holes in her wrist. "Oh my God, no one had told me about this. She's been crucified." The horror of all of her suffering flooded through me like daggers, but it still didn't look like my Sunshine. As strange as this sounds, and even though I did know it was her, I couldn't see her. I seen Jesus laying there. The marks on the arms, that was my Jesus. But no, this was my baby girl. How could this be? How, dear God, could this be? I didn't understand, but suddenly I felt comforted. So comforted that I understood. laying there, yet even there, Jesus was there in her place. My God, what has she gone through? I wondered. But it kept coming back to me. Jesus was in her place. Tears flooded down my face. My God, look at the holes in her arm. She was crucified. No, Christ was there in her place. Oh, beloved, I know this sounds bizarre to you, but I could not see my sunshine laying there. I saw Christ. God, what have you done for us? To the depths of your love, dear Jesus, I see it here. Could we ever even remotely understand your sacrifice, the pain, the suffering you went through for us? The horrible, horrible suffering you endured. I see it here, here in this casket. It's like for the first time I fully understood the horrible pain you went through for us. I closed the casket lid. I didn't need to see anymore. I had seen as much as I could stand. As much as I needed to know was right there, right in front of me. I knew this was the body of my precious sunshine. But I also knew she wasn't there anymore. I had this strange rushing feeling of joy, of her joy. I felt her joy. I knew she was happy. I knew she was so full of abundant love and peace right now. She had everything that anyone could ever want and more. Oh, precious Jesus, how I thank you. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for suffering and dying for us. How I love you. I don't understand all of this, how it came to be, but I thank you for loving my sunshine. The following day was Sunshine's funeral. The very day she was to be married, we were burying her. The pastor who was to perform her wedding was now giving her funeral service. The brothers who were to be her best men and ring bearer are now her pallbearers. The cousins who were to be ushers were pallbearers, and the bridesmaids were sitting with tears in their eyes.